All right, and we're back. Welcome to this next episode of All Good in the Brotherhood. Remarkably, there are no other brothers here.
We're doing well.
This might be the first. Well, I know Sam and our brother Francisco and Nate have done a couple like one-on-ones, but this is probably the first All Good in the Brotherhood episode that's one brother with two gals. So congratulations, this is a massive achievement, I suppose.
We feel honored.
Today we'll be talking with my wife, Johanna Whitaker. She's been on the show a bunch of times already. She's our resident drone expert, as we've seen from prior episodes, and versed on a wide variety of topics, some of which we'll cover today. Not drone related today, but we can always go back to that. And this is Molly Ramick, and Molly is Johanna's best friend from childhood and growing up. Molly, you want to give a little intro?
Johanna and I have been friends for almost like 20 years, which is crazy.
That's a little scary.
Terrifying. And I live in Pittsburgh, but I will soon be moving to Ohio. And I followed her here after both of us living in Rochester for a while. And I'm a social worker and just excited to be on the podcast. So
cool. Yeah, and then we, after you moved to Pittsburgh, we moved to West Virginia, which was a very charitable
thing. And I did not follow
thing.
You to West Virginia. Yeah.
Right. So why would you want to come to West Virginia?
I had to go further.
Well, it's cool that you guys, mentioned the friendship that you guys have had for a long time, because today we're going to be talking about a specific type of friendship. Oh, you're cheersing? Okay,
cheersing
cool. Cheers into
that.
Cheers. All right, so specifically within friendship, we're going to talk about friendships between men and women, and I kind of want to hit specifically on just some of that tension that sometimes arises when men befriend women. But as you get older, you become aware of your identity, as a man, as a woman, and there's that little tension that starts to enter into sometimes even a good friendship of attraction, because as you get older, or it doesn't even have to be older, like it can start, as you're discovering yourself as a child, but like that tension that's often there in a friendship between specifically a man and a woman, or a boy and a girl. But we'll start off with a fun question, and that is, name, if not your favorite, one of your favorite man and woman duos in some sort of TV show or movie. And I'll start with my favorite.
Okay.
And hopefully this doesn't steal it too quickly for you.
Okay.
But I'm a big fan of the Ron Swanson and Leslie Knope combo from Parks and Recreation. So there's this great, and I think what I always appreciate, I mean, it's a show, it is what it is that they're both two very different people, and they both have, it seemingly on the show, remarkably different worldviews, but they still have a pretty meaningful friendship by all appearances, I'm not going to say it's like a brother in Christ, sister in Christ type of relationship.
But it could be. Could
the nature
it?
Of the
could
show.
Be.
But it's definitely based on what appears to be like a healthy level of mutual respect and authentic care for the other. So I think that's kind of a pretty cool combo. Again, it's
that's a good friend
it's
example.
It's a comedy. It's a good
friend
example.
I was
going to
say, wait, are we doing only friend examples, or can it be
romantic?
Oh, well, I'd like to hear if you can narrow it to like a non-romantic one.
Oh, shoot.
Okay.
That was kind of the spirit of it.
Let's think about that.
But
okay.
if you think of one that part of this discussion may be that those sorts of platonic relationships are not truly real. So we'll see if we come to that conclusion at a certain point. But go ahead, Joe. How about you go next? What's
So you threw a monkey wrench in it.
Okay.
It's just supposed to be friends.
I can. I think I can.
Well, if you can't,
this is not well represented.
Go ahead and name a favorite. Man and woman duo.
Well, I was gonna say Anne Shirley and Gilbert Blythe, but you might.
Oh.
Have
oh.
But I mean, they started out a good friendship for a very long time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. True.
But, yeah, it didn't turn into
now, is there specific Gilbert Blythe? Because I've heard this Gilbert Blythe is just, there's at least one of these shows that, everybody falls for this dude. If you're
well,
watching.
It's not just the
it's
movie
true.
Version of the dude.
Yeah.
It's that the movie captures the essence of the book's
the book.
Character.
Okay.
It's really
the
book.
That's why it's so great.
That's key.
It's true.
But, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess what's particularly particular about... It's not necessarily, just him, but their relationship is really funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they meet as kids, and we'll talk about that whole dynamic, with the idea of friendship and the difference between like meeting as kids and meeting as adults. But but yeah, like they meet as kids and he like crushes on her like right from the beginning and she absolutely hates him.
Yeah, she can't stand him for a really long time.
But like after they work through that, then they become like really close friends for several years.
A very long time, yeah. Before it turns.
But yeah, there's something really special about like having that friend from childhood and like having somebody who understands you and like where you come from.
There's a lot of trust there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a pretty good one. And I like that it actually does kind of end. You know, relationship. I think that's kind of neat too. Because maybe we won't cover that. So, yeah. Molly, can you think of one?
I'm trying to think. So I'm trying to remember the characters' names. but so from the Dick Van Dyke Show, which is like a very old show that we used to really like watching as kids and stuff. But there's like the two. And I'm like struggling. Oh, Buddy and Sally are like they're all like. So the three writers are all friends, Rob, Buddy, and Sally. And Sally is just, like, such a, like, she's still very much a lady, but she's very funny, and, like, she writes the shows with the guys. And like, they just think of her as kind of one of the guys.
Yeah.
And, like, it's really funny. And there's actually an episode about how she, like, doesn't feel like a woman in the office because she's just, like, one of the bros. And this is in, like, the 50s and 60s. So it's actually very interesting.
Yeah, that would have been pretty progressive.
Yeah, and she's still, like, is very feminine, but she's very, like, she's hilarious. They write together. It's, like, a very good dynamic, and they all have their individual lives, and they, like, respect each other, but it's, like, it's just kind of this working friendship in some ways, so it's, like, a collaboration and, you know, partnership, but it's also, like, they have a lot of fun together, too, so I don't know. I just always, like, thought that was really fun, and, like, that there's never anything between any of the, you know, the guys and her or anything like that, but... Yeah, so I like that. I like that dynamic.
Hmm. Well, that's pretty neat. And yeah, I think like it's some of those things do give us something that's kind of worth aspiring to. I think like good relationships. Another one that I think is like the Hawkeye and Black Widow relationship, where they're both like partners, where they've worked together for so long, and you could look at it from I'm sure people would try to ship them as a couple. But they have like a. You know, they work together and there's, like, that partnership that forms and it kind of remains as that, like, a healthy partnership and healthy friendship.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, yeah, just to kind of get back to this question of, you know, can men and women be friends in a way that does not get awkward or tense or kind of conflicted with sort of that natural, the natural differences that we have? Between men and women, and maybe like we could simplify the question a little bit with, you know, have you had some kind of experiences in your lives where you had like an authentic, say, brother in Christ or not? And if not, then maybe what were some of the things that kind of made that challenging to always have that? And if so, is that indicative of kind of an underlying challenge that maybe exists? And again, and challenge makes it sound like it's a bad thing, but again, if we which I think we do, you know, want to acknowledge that God made man and women uniquely, then how do those differences that God made, you know, me different from you two, how does that, like, create something that will never fully allow for, like, the same type of relationships that, from, say, a man to a man or a woman to a woman in a friendship context?
Yeah.
Do you want to start, hon?
That's a lot.
Yeah. just maybe start with some good friendships, if you can think of some.
Yeah, well, I think there's a difference, too, when we consider, like, like, the course that a friendship goes through and, like, whether or not there ever was any romantic interest, you know, and, like, whether or not that was expressed or
it's always
it was kind of, like,
like,
kind of kept under the radar and, you know, I think there's a lot of dynamics there and, like, you know, what first... And this is a, you know, kind of a curious thing for, like, just friendship in general, but, like, what draws people together to, like, form a friendship? And how does that differ from romantic interest? Like, I have had good, like, male friendships. And I think, I mean, this is gonna come up at some point, but, like, as every good Christian mother will encourage, like, groups are the best for hanging out and encouraging genuine friendship and discouraging romantic interest. But yeah, you know,
yeah,
like,
that's
it's
true.
It's actually true, though. Like, being friends as part of a group and not necessarily like a clique, because those have, you know, awkward tendencies in and of themselves. But, you know, I think there's a certain strength to that in, you know, having a friendship of, you know, three or four people. And I think that kind of dynamic lends itself a little more easily to a healthy, like, male and female relationship, because it's not just, like, two people kind of codependent on each other, but more of, like, a group bond. And I think that has the opportunity to, like, grow stronger through, like, shared memories and just, like, more lighthearted experiences and more, like, shared memories. Did I say that already?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I feel like that's one dynamic that can lend itself to a really, a more healthy level of friendship. Not to say that, like, something can't spiral out of that, but at kind of a base level. And I've experienced that myself. Yeah, in high school, and particularly, like, in college, there were a few more, like, groups of friends that I felt like I could really be, like, comfortably friends with some of the guys within those groups, and, like, it didn't feel awkward, and it didn't feel like there were any assumptions being made by other people. Because that's part of it, is that, like, you know, when like, a guy and a girl are hanging out and they're spending time together, like, other people are going to start putting pressure and start kind of projecting their ideas into that relationship, even if there's no romantic interest at all. So if it's more of a group dynamic, that pressure is, like, alleviated a little bit, and, like, more genuine friendship can develop.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point of just that it, within, like, the group context. And I definitely agree with the part that people can project. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're hanging out one-on-one with a, you know, guy and girl. But I think it also, to me, that also doesn't make it seem like that could flourish then, like, a friendship just between a girl and guy that are focusing on the relationship. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. 'cause if it's in, within the group, then that feels like a little bit different of a friendship.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, almost like an acquaintance than, like, a friendship, because, like, I think at some point, how do you develop a friendship? It has to be kind of, like, one-on-one time in some ways. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're developing any type of relationship, it kind of has to have some individuality. And so if it can only kind of be with, like, it, within a group, then I think that can make it challenging. And I don't know. I think I've experienced that where it's, like, unless it's been from somebody, like, we were kind of talking about how it's, like, if you've met somebody when you were young and then you grew up together, like, I have those friendships that have stayed the course of time and they haven't necessarily ebbed and flowed. But, however, there have been questions throughout that friendship of, like, well, do they like me at this point? Or maybe I like them. I don't know. But, like, it never turn anything, you know, whatever else. Yeah. But, like, I don't know if it is necessarily possible to have it be only platonic the whole time through, you know?
Yeah, but at least that, like, question can arise. Because, and I think that is actually a healthy thing for that, like, question to kind of bubble up at some point. You know, like, if we are seeking, like circling back to, like, high school and college, you know, if we are seeking, you know, to figure out what our vocation is, then that question is going to come up at some point of, like, oh, like, am I, quote unquote, compatible with this person? Or, you know,
chances,
like,
are, if you're good friends with them, they probably have a lot of the qualities that you're looking for, you know, in somebody and a partner.
Right. And, like, compatibility is different from attraction. Yeah. And, like, you know, there's a lot of different layers in there, but, like, that's a totally natural thing to kind of have come to the surface at some point. Sure. And then sometimes that can, like, make or break things, and sometimes that can, like, be kind of ridden over and worked through through some awkwardness, and you know, it comes out on the other side as, like, an actually, like, stronger friendship than before. You know, and I think we both witnessed that in different people. And I think that's, like, pretty interesting to see. You know, and, like, how, from, like, being a spectator, like, seeing how other people's relationships and friendships develop over several years. But, yeah, and it's actually, like, there can be, you know, falling out and whatnot, which is unfortunate. But yeah, I think it's really neat, like, when stronger friendships can form, like, through kind of an awkward or uncomfortable situation.
So then here's my kind of follow-up to that. And actually, well, first I'll just hash back to a couple things, starting one with the group dynamics thing. I think that's a good thing to bring up, and it just kind of reminded me of growing up, say, on things like track teams that I was on, where you're in a larger mixed group, men and women.
Yeah.
And you're all working together, you're all mm-hmm. working towards, like, you have that, like, shared experience, shared memories, like you talked about. And it can kind of create an environment where you feel like you're friends with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're friends with the team.
Yeah.
And you love the team.
Yeah.
So you sort of kind of, like, share that, you know, you just kind of cross-level, peanut butter spread that level of, you know, emotional attachment
yeah.
to the team,
mm-hmm.
to everyone.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily, that's not a bad thing.
No,
that's a
yeah.
good thing. But yeah, I like what you said, that's not like a friendship, and what we're trying to get at is the idea of like an individualized relationship with
yeah.
somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And is that exactly possible, you know, again, with a man and a woman, to have that individualized relationship and it actually be truly platonic, in the sense that I think our contemporary society, again, you know, tries to kind of neutralize these differences that
mm-hmm.
we have,
yeah,
and be like, yep, kind of all the same. And of course that's consistent with, you know, some of the you know, the social agendas that are on the rise and have been on the rise for a while, and specifically in, you know, Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea, you know, in today's day and age, that we could have these platonic relationships sounds great and idealistic, because in a way that is the neutralization of what it means to be a man or a woman,
mm-hmm.
right, to a sense that we're just all the same.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
But yeah, I kind of wanted to hit this question, because I think, again, and I think I've mentioned this before, but I believe a fair amount of our listeners on All Good in the Brotherhood are, in many cases, going to be young men.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe these men are, you know, single, or, you know, maybe they're looking for that relationship, whether they're looking for their vocation in the priesthood or married life. But I think men do often find, like, value in friendship still with women, you know,
mm-hmm.
it may be individualized, but we don't make it easy. And so, like, that's kind of what I want to hear is your perspectives of, like, you know, is there, would you say that you've had a desire, currently have a desire, grew up with a desire for a friend with a man, or, you know, again, a guy or whatever, that was actually, like,
mm-hmm.
just kind of clean cut and non-romantic? And, like, if so, did you kind of ever feel like you got that? And
mm-hmm.
if not, did, you know, were guys generally the reasons why that kind of made it complex for your perspectives?
Mm.
Like, did you grow up like, oh, I really wish I could just have that, again,
yeah.
that clear, non-complicated
yeah.
friendship?
I think for me, it wasn't necessarily growing up, because I think growing up was easier to kind of be able to have the friendships mixed with guys and girls, and
yeah.
I was like, oh, this is great. You know, I didn't really see the complementarity until later on, so in,
mm.
like, seeing how, you know, it could be, like, I longed for maybe a more of that, like, male perspective, until it was, like, I feel like it was a few years ago that I had really, really great gal pals, you know, like, great friends.
Galentine's.
And, exactly, and I was, like, super, super blessed, and I am very blessed with good friendships with girls, but I just, like, I remember multiple times just thinking about things and talking through them with my girlfriends, and just kind
mm-hmm.
of feeling like, man, I just could really use, like, a male perspective on something
yeah.
like this, instead
mm-hmm.
of just only kind of the emotional part that I was coming at, that, like, the girls were so good at, like, helping me process my emotions, but I almost, like, kind of got stuck there. And so
mm-hmm.
I remember just really wanting just even, like, dating, yes, but, like, more importantly, just kind of a male perspective and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, and just wanting that, like, I could go to my dad, but, like, that's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
type of peer interaction. So
mm-hmm.
I really desired that, and I think would have been helpful is just, like, I don't know, I guess maybe something in a group context, because I think at that point, when you're a young adult and you're trying to meet other people, if you're meeting other guys, chances are they're probably gonna, like,
oh, yeah.
there's gonna
oh, yeah.
be something
mm-hmm.
yeah.
one way or the other.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I think I just really didn't know, like, how to go about it.
Yeah.
But I think just maybe even having, like, more group kinds of things, or, like, mutual friends of, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get to know them at different gatherings or whatever else, and just kind of become friends because of, you know, interests or whatever else. And then, like, being able to hear their perspective, especially if they're, a man of faith, like, just even if it's not you sharing your personal story with them and asking for their perspective, but just sometimes even getting a little bit more feedback from, like, what about this situation? You know, like,
mm-hmm.
hearing other people's, like, perspective on things, and especially that male and female part. Yeah, so, I don't know. I think that was something I was really looking for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you, Joe?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think I did struggle with that, like, Yeah, like, kind of in, like, early high school, too, you know? And, like, I mean, that's a whole part and parcel of, like, you know, kind of coming of age and just, like, feeling that, like, sharper loneliness and that, like, really strong desire for just people to, like, recognize you and pay attention to you. And not only on a surface level, but yeah, to, like, to be known. And yeah, not necessarily just by, like, other girls, but, like, to, you know, and it's an immature viewpoint, but, like, you want that attention and that validation from, like, both guys and girls. And again, maybe that's, like, not the healthiest starting point for a friendship is, like, seeking attention, but yeah, I think I definitely desired that, and then, you know, kind of going forward and, like, going into college and, actually being able to kind of, like, have friendships with guys, like, I did really appreciate that, and yeah, there is a difference, there's totally a difference, and, you know, and I don't think it's just on, like, a personality level of, like, oh, well, like, guys are funnier or something, which is not true.
I think it might.
No, it's totally not.
Scientific evidence suggests otherwise.
Yeah, I think you need to take a psychology course, but okay. I think guys think they are funnier, so, yeah.
That's true.
I always tell Tom that he makes himself laugh more than anybody else.
I do, I'm the funniest person I know.
Absolutely true.
Actually, I think the same thing about myself.
But anyway, but yeah, that is definitely something that I desired, and I did find, like, really, like, it's just a really valuable thing, once I was able to kind of have some of those friendships. But again, like, there is that difficulty of just, like, kind of, like, the nagging thought in the back of your head of, like, oh, well, am I, like, are we friends? Like, you know, like, maybe I'm kind of interested, or, like, am I leading him on because I'm really not interested at all, and am I giving the wrong impression? And, like, and it's so hard to be able to communicate that because you don't want to be presumptuous, like, oh, hey, do you like me? Because I don't like you, but I just wanted to figure it
clear
out.
The air.
You know, like,
oh, good, I'm glad we're on the same page.
How can we have that conversation? Right. So I don't know if there is any way to have that conversation.
I don't know.
But, like, I guess to get back to your question, like, yeah, I definitely did want to have friends who were guys, who were just friends, because I did, you know, like, I did see the value in that. But I guess what I would question, like, do guys want to just be friends with girls?
That's a good question.
Because, like, because I've definitely been in situations where I wanted to be just friends, and then that didn't end up working out.
And then I like, am a bubblier personality. I just want to be friends and everything. And it's like, nope,
is that always the case? Like, do guys just befriend girls because they're hoping to kind of, like, grow a little more one-on-one? Or can it actually remain platonic and, like, start out as platonic?
Yeah. I think this is where, you know, like, going back to the idea that men and women are also attracted to each other in different ways is kind of significant. Because, if a guy, like you mentioned, Gilbert Blythe, like, immediately had a crush on Anne, if that's kind of how things start, chances are there's going to be no likelihood of a future kind of, like, platonic relationship. Because you can, and I've talked to many guys, and this goes back to how cheesy though it may be, as soon as I saw you, I liked you. Like, that's that's just how it was, you know? So we would not have been able to have a just buddy relationship if that's where it was headed. I would have just probably closed and moved along because I liked you already. So it kind of, I think, from the guy's perspective starts very early on. And if there's already, like, some level of attraction, it's probably only going to continue to grow from there. It doesn't mean that there's, like, just, you know, single track minded kind of, you know, guys only want one thing kind of idea. You know, it's more just that, like, if it's there from the beginning, it's probably not going to shift to the contrary.
That makes sense.
I can think of maybe a couple instances growing up where that might have been the case, where it's like, you know, because, if you're just attracted to a girl, you know, physically, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, actually, this is a great friend, and that seems to be how things are. So, like, we can kind of settle into that, but it probably takes an active decision. Like, I can say that. It actually has to take, like, you kind of sitting there and recognizing that's the terrain, and making the decision of like, well, I still value this friendship. In fact,
yeah.
I value that maybe more than just this idea of like, some maybe we could be in some sort of relationship.
Right.
And I think that's where there has to be an active decision. So I would encourage guys who have that, because I would definitely say, you know, like, and I have a couple of really great friends, even, you know, graduating college, even college, living down in D.C., mm-hmm. who, like, I loved grabbing breakfast with, you know, even that one-on-one kind of individualized
relationship.
Grabbing
girls here, yes.
Yeah.
just to clarify for the people listening.
Yeah. With gals, I could think of at least a couple.
Yeah.
And it was just wholesome friendship, mm-hmm. and it was very meaningful, and it individualized as well.
Okay.
But, you know, if I'm also still being honest in there, those same questions that you both talked about, of that, like, well, am I potentially leading this person on? Are they being as transparent with me as I'm trying to be?
Yeah.
Or in some cases, questioning myself, it's like, wow, I just really, really care about this person. Yeah. And maybe I don't feel that, like, physical attraction that I assume is a very key part in this thing.
Right.
But I'm just so emotionally, you know, attached to this person. Maybe that's, you know, indicative of that attraction.
Sure.
Well, I think that's the other part too, is like getting an emotional attachment, and then if you do start dating somebody else, where does that other person then fit in?
Yep.
Because that can be very messy.
So I think
like that can be really hard too, of like if you are really close friends with a girl and then it's now shifted to a girlfriend or something, you know, and I don't know, I think that can be really hard on both people, and also like what do you do at that point? And I think like I think at that point the individualized time that you spend together is kind of
it has to go.
It's gotta go.
I completely agree. So, that's 100%. Like I used to, there used to be folks that I would just call up on the phone and talk to for an hour or two, and I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not like,
and part of
I don't
like
want them as part of my life.
Yeah. We have time for that.
Yeah, I don't really want a lot of my dude friends either.
Yeah.
But it would be like a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's just time and a place for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, which kind of leads in some way to the final, like, you know, just one response. Hot takes, open to it. Like, is it possible? Is it possible for a man and a woman to have a truly platonic, and I'll define just so we understand, platonic means like completely kind of like devoid of that potential romantic like metering. So, you know, is it 100% possible to check whatever, you know, and we're both on the side of like as married people now, we can kind of have friendships with say other married couples that actually do feel pretty neutral, you know, like they don't feel like there's any like real concern or any really issues that would enter into like, oh well yeah, like I can talk to this other, you know, man's wife, or you can talk to this other gal's husband and it just be a good wholesome friendship.
Yeah,
but there's still kind of like a little difference there, you know,
for sure.
Just yes or no. I'll give my answer, but you go first.
Well, see, like when you say like metering, you know, is that like, I don't know. Like, is it possible to have, like, a platonic friendship and, like, it be kept that way? Yes, I do think so.
Okay.
But, like, does it need to be kept in check? And, like, yeah, and that's why I was clarifying what you were saying. I think it does.
Okay.
You know, because I think there is gonna, just because, like, we are human beings and, like, we're built to kind of be, like, attracted to each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's a very natural thing to, like, come up now and then, or to just like, you know, feel like strong emotion towards somebody. And when you feel strong emotion towards somebody, you're gonna like pause for a second and question it, check it out, and be like, okay, no, we're just friends, like that's good.
Yeah,
you know. And I think sometimes that's gonna have to be like a conscious choice, like you were saying, like, yeah, we're not like, this is I'm not supposed to be married to this person, and I know that.
Yeah,
you know. So I do think it has to kind of be like analyzed now and then a little bit, and there does have to be some like decision to it, but like, do I think it's possible? I do, and yeah, like to your point about like being married, once we started dating and then kind of like settled into like engagement and got married, it was like a great relief to me in a way that I could like authentically be friends with other guys without having to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
And I felt like being secure in our relationship opened me up to be like, oh, like, I'm not going to lead this person on. Like, I'm married and I'm very happily, like, clearly in a steady, lovely marriage, you know, and like the circles of friends that we're in are in similar positions. Yeah. You know, there's not going to be any question, like, if I'm having a conversation with, you know, one of our married guy friends, like, that's nowhere, you know, in our minds as like being weird or inappropriate, because that is like authentic friendship at that point. And so that's, like, yeah, a huge weight off my shoulders to, like, not be single anymore, because I don't have to worry about being misunderstood. You know, but, like, before that point, it is still difficult, and I do think that's that is, like, a tricky ground to navigate, because it does kind of have to be communicated clearly, because, again, like, we are people, and, like, we do have those, like, attractions to each other, and we're supposed to. So, yeah, I think it kind of does have to be, like, a commitment to a platonic relationship, if you will. But I do, yeah, think there can be, like, great benefits that that can be reaped from that.
I think that I'm, like, yes, but I feel like my hot take is that it can only be when you've, like, had that relationship for, like, a very long time, like, a friendship from childhood, or that you've developed when there were kind of not really feelings involved at all, or in the context of other people if you meet later on. Because otherwise, I just don't think it really makes sense, or that I could do it, or that it would really... I just think that it would be really difficult to just start a friendship that's totally platonic when I'm in my 20s.
And we had talked a little bit earlier about, like, you know, great saints who had, like, really, like, intimate friendships, or, you know, but, like, the examples that... St. Clair, St. Francis, that's who we came up with, or, like, St. St. Francis de Sales and St. Jane de Chantal, but, like, he was her spiritual director, you know? And, like, St. Francis and St. Clair, like, they lived, like, very austere lives, and they were, like, fully committed to their vocation. So it's essentially, like, being married, you know? Like, they knew what they were doing, and they could see, like, the beauty and the, you know, the benefit of, like, a true friendship of, like, someone else chasing Jesus with all of their heart, you know? And I think that's very different than just being, like, oh, I really love you as a friend, and I love spending time with you. Like, that's going to go in a different direction, just kind of naturally.
Cool, I like both of those responses. I do appreciate that you didn't just say yes or no, but that you kind of said yes-ish, and the caveat. I'll say no-ish. so, like, and I'll caveat that, like, I think it's all about the stage of life that you're in.
Yeah, that's right.
But that the overall tendency, in my opinion, is no. That, like, guys are going to have deeper friendships, deeper individualized friendships with guys, because even in the example of, like, the married couples thing, that's still kind of like a group, you know, that forms.
No, it,
like,
totally is.
Even if it's like two couples, you know, playing Yahtzee or whatever,
it's not super duper deep.
It's not. No. Yeah, it's not individualized. It's not. It wouldn't be, because it would, you know, to your point, like, you know, a conversation over brunch that kind of, you know, partners off, wouldn't be perceived as being an odd thing. However, like, oh, I'm gonna go over and just, you know, grab a beer with, and they'd be like, why? You know, like, just wouldn't do that, you know?
Yeah, no, that would be weird.
So, even within marriage, it's gonna be more like that group kind of dynamic that you talked about. And then when you're single and you're pursuing, you know, presumably, you know, if you're not pursuing, say, like, a consecrated life as some way, you're kind of more open to married life, you're kind of just gonna always have that radar beacon going. You're gonna be always trying to transmit a signal, and you're always gonna try to receive a signal. Like, it's just always gonna be on. Even if there can be that conscious decision that, like, kind of puts up those barriers, and, you know, both to protect yourself and then maybe to kind of keep somebody else at arm's length a little bit, there's still always going to be just a little bit of that, you know, married person, single person radar going on. And then as a, you know, a child, it all kind of boils down to, I think, how you discover your sexuality. And as you're discovering that, you know, like, Philip and Gemma can be friends with, like, little boys, you know, or little girls, and they might have, like, an inkling starting to form in their minds about those differences. But overall, they're still at an age where, like, the world is just so big and so, you know, amazing. And those aspects of themselves haven't yet quite become very prevalent in their minds. So there isn't exactly that discovery to the point where, like, then you start actually seeing those differences. I mean, I remember having crushes at probably, like, 5 or 6 years old, you know? So they're, you know, they're still, Philip and Gemma are our two oldest kids, 4 and 2 years old. But, yeah, anyway, so I'm going to say no-ish. But I do think, the way that you can still, I'm not saying, like, those relationships and friendships are, one, impossible, or two, like, invalid, it's not a real friendship, or something
or
like
that. Or not worth pursuing.
Yeah, or not meaningful. Because I know I've had meaningful ones, and I think you guys have talked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that they kind of are only going to be, probably enter into that level of, like, a meaningful, valuable, individualized sort of relationship with some pretty clear boundaries.
Yep.
And they don't always have to be, like, set verbatim, like, okay, we will only be friends, right? Because that's obviously kind of an awkward thing to do. But that it pretty much takes, like, a certain level of emotional maturity in both people to actually enter into, like, that platonic-ish friendship. And I think the term is kind of a little bit, again, a little bit flexible to what that means. But, you know, again, if we're saying non-romantic, then, no-ish is my response.
That's fair.
So 2 yes-ish and 1 no-ish, but that's okay. I think the perspectives that you gave are good. So, any closing thoughts or comments or anything you want to wrap up? Molly first.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the last thing was just, like, if you are going to continue a friendship, just bringing that into your then state of life, too. Then if you're, like, if you get married, then it's, like, now you're friends with the couple. Like, instead of just being friends with just the guy, it's, like, great. Now you're friends with the guy and the girl, you know, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And if they get married, then you can be a couple friend together.
Yeah.
So just kind of, like, adjusting that. And if that can't be adjusted, then I think maybe rethinking maybe the friendship. And I just I think that's just a fair, you know, kind of thing. So that just reminded me what you had said previously. So that was my last thought.
Any more interesting thoughts on the New Jersey drones for
let's just circle
back to hear more of your thoughts on
that. Is classified and I really can't share more than I shared last
that's
time.
Legit. Everybody loves to hear that.
But no, I think just that like I do really value, like, male friendships, and I, like, I wouldn't want that to change, but I guess just reiterating, like, what we said about, like, group settings, and I think those have been kind of the best male friendships that I've had, or, and, you know, or ones that are, like, more, like, work-based, you know, you mentioned being on track, like, for me, it would have been, like, in the theater community, not on stage, but backstage, and, like, you know, when you're working very hard with someone else, you have to work, like, closely, you work quickly, like, your communication has to be on point, and you're working towards, like, a shared goal, like, those are awesome bonding things, and I do think that's, like, a much better situation for, like, forming a good friendship with somebody that doesn't really have to have any ulterior motive.
Well, thank you both for this evening. Joe had to step away earlier because our baby monitor was getting a little bit on the fritz.
And so it gets really loud.
Yeah, the mom duties never shut off for her. But
but they stayed asleep.
They did. So shocking, that's
bonus point.
Clutch. But yeah, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate again Molly being here and Joe. Tune in next time and we'll see what else we can uncover about, you know, New Jersey drones with next time Joe's on. So,
happy to share my expertise.
God bless. Bye. All right.